Men of God, arise as a PPK, priest, prophet, and king. The priest in you will bring the needs of your family and community to God. The prophet declares the word of God over his family. The king in you governs over all that God has entrusted you with. Join me, Apostle Gerald Benton, as I encourage, lead, and teach men to walk in their God-given kingdom role as a priest, prophet, and king.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It depends on whenever you actually look at this broadcast. As you can see, the title is Can You Be Tested? So last night we were in study Bible and someone talked about being tested, and a thing kind of stuck with me. So I literally went to bed on being tested, and God just literally took me in a dream on times where he was testing me. And there was a time in my life where I didn't like to be tested. Have you ever been in that place? Like, you don't like to be tested. Or think about going through, you know, we say patience. You know, patience tests you, you know, and sometimes you don't like it. So when someone says, you know, God is working on your patience, so he's testing your patience. You know, will you be patient? Can you just be tested? Can you be tested in anything? Can you be tested in your patience? Can you be tested in your kindness? Can you be tested in your walk? Can you be tested? Because what makes us an exempt from being tested? That thing jacked me up. So I'm walking this morning and God says, Gerald, there's times when I'm constantly testing you. I'm testing you. You're thinking that the enemy is testing you or the enemy is coming after you. No, I'm testing you. I'm trying to figure out if you're going to be or do the things that you know that you're called to do, or are you willing to walk out the assignment? I'm testing you. These trials that come, these situations that come, these obstacles that come into your life, they're not always about Satan trying to get at you, but there are times when I'm just trying to test you. I'm trying, like a teacher. A teacher is not always trying to make you feel bad or to cause you to fail. They're there to test you, to make sure that you actually meet the requirements to make it to the next level. So us trying to get to the next level, there are tests that we have to take. It's like, you know, I had a glimpse of when I was walking. God, you know, constantly uses my wife as an example to me in the process of being tested. It's like, when you see him looking like this, what would your facial expression be? So so you thinking that the enemy is testing you? It's that, no, he's not delivered yet. So he's going to test you by doing the very things that he doesn't really want to do, but he's just doing it. And so it's testing you is to see if you're going to respond more like me or respond more like yourself. And so I was thinking, I'm like, dang. And I remember times when I would literally test her. Like, I'm going to see if this really real. I'm going to see if you're going to be kind to me. I'm going to see if you're going to love me. I'm going to see if you're going to do all this. And I'm just testing her. I'm testing her. And when I tell you, the more she was put into the fire, the more she became pure, the more that she became, she started to adjust and to adapt to what God was trying to say and to do, that it would literally help me walk through my salvation, walk through my deliverance. See, listen, some of these things that you're getting, that we get tested on, is really not just for us. It's for us to be an example of, to be able to help someone else walk through a situation, to walk through a test that God is like giving my children, my students, my pupils, my creation. I'm testing them to see if they're going to look more like me or look more like the world. Because see, here's what's happening. The line is getting really, really blurred between the world and the church. I'm going to say that one more time. The line is getting blurred between the world and the church. And see, as a man, I'm going to just talk about me. So me, I didn't like to get tested. I didn't even like school. I didn't like when the teacher, because I wasn't a studier. And the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. And so I wasn't a studier. I didn't like to study. I didn't like to put forth the effort. I like to do things because I'm talented. Or I'm athletic. I can just do things. I didn't like to practice. I didn't like to study. I didn't like to do any of those things. I just wanted to know it. And it didn't happen. Or I wanted someone to do it for me. So that was how I grew up. That was my mentality. That was what I worked on. So when God is testing me, when he was testing me, I'm like, God, why don't you just do this? It's like, I've did everything I'm going to do. I've sent my son to pay the price for you. I've given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. I've given you everything that you could possibly. I've given you eternal life. I've given you all of the things that you need, Gerald. And I'm just talking about myself. And so I'm still calling on God. Well, God, can't you do this? Oh, God, won't you do this? Oh, God, why? He said, well, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? I'm really and truly like, think about this. Here. Job is like, have you tried my servant Job? Right. It's like God told Satan, have you tried him? Listen, man, Job lost everything. Job lost everything. Listen to what I'm telling you. Job lost everything. Health, wealth, children, family, all of that stuff. He lost it all. But at the end, he got a double portion back. He got a double fold came back to him. And so when I'm talking about when God is trying you and he's trying to teach you something, he's trying to expand you. He's trying to give you more than what you lost. He's trying to give you more than what you think. Listen, y'all ain't catching this. Right now, you just stuck. We stuck in our feelings. We're stuck in our feelings. And men get stuck in their feelings a lot quicker than women. We might think that, oh, these women always in their feelings. No, men get in their feelings way faster than women. Because as soon as something ain't right, something ain't going right, we want to do what? We want to run. We want to pout. We want to not talk. We want to not communicate. But what about if God is trying you to see if you're going to be a better communicator? What if he's trying you to see if you're going to be a person that's going to be responsible for the family that he's entrusted you with? I mean, we got people that walk away from the family that God has entrusted them with. Just walk away. Like, bump that, man. She getting on my nerves. I got to go. I ain't got time for that. What? I'm not telling you something somebody had to tell me. I'm telling you something that I did. I was that dude. I was that guy. So I'm not worried about a man telling me, well, that don't happen. That's a lie because I did it. I ain't saying every man like me, but I'm saying there's a whole lot of us out there that's not willing to, they don't want to handle the responsibility or the pressure that they're being tested on. There's a lot that's out there that's standing on the ground. They're standing flat footed. They're standing firm and not moving. They're planted and they're not moved by what the situation may be. I applaud you. I applaud you. I wasn't that guy. I wasn't that guy. I was the one that was running. I was the one walked away from responsibilities, walked away from my marriage, walked away from my family, walked away from my children, walked away from all responsibilities because I didn't want to be tested. I didn't want to be tried. I didn't want to be pushed. I didn't want to be any of that stuff. But listen, every day you wake up, there's an opportunity and there's a situation that you're going to get tried in, that you're going to get tested. Don't be afraid of what God is doing in the testing. Listen. There's a purification that comes in the test. There's a requirement. There's a certification that comes with the requirement. He's certified to do what he's doing. We've tested him. I'm certified to be doing this. I've been tested. I ain't say I passed it all the time. Sometimes, listen, I had to be retained a couple times in this spiritual walk. I couldn't make it to the next level because I didn't have I didn't meet the requirements. I didn't have the capacity to be able to handle what God was entrusted me with to be able to move into the next level. But once I got maturity, once I started understanding that there's a maturity level that has to be taught and a maturity level that has to be learned and tested to be able to make it to the next level. Man, please. I used to remember when my teacher used to put all them red marks on my paper. I throw that thing, I ball it up and throw it away. And she'll go get it out of the trash can and wipe it and fix it and put it back on my desk. She's like, why would you do that? You still got to take it. You still got to take this quiz. You still got to take this test. Because if you don't, then that means you don't make it to the next level. That means you don't make it to the next grade. Because if you don't understand the foundation of what you need to be standing on, how are you going to be able to make it to the next grade? How are you going to be able to pass the next grade? Because you don't even have a foundation of the very thing that you need. That's why God keep testing you. He's wanting, he's trying to make sure that we're standing on the solid ground, that we're able to be able to handle what the enemy is trying to do. Listen, the enemy is always trying to, he's trying to sift us like wheat. It was like Jesus told Paul, you know, listen, the devil's trying to sift you like wheat, man. He's trying to sift you like wheat. Listen, if Jesus got tried, what make you think you won't get tried? I'm just saying. If we're, our example is Jesus, and Jesus got tried, he got tempted, he got tried by the devil, talking about something to turn this stone into bread. Listen, he told him that after he had been fasting. Y'all ain't catch what I'm talking. 40 days of fasting. He tried Jesus. You ain't Jesus? What so much make you think you ain't gonna get tested? Gerald, because I don't want nobody to think I'm picking on them or think I'm coming at them. I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about that every day that I wake up, I understand that there's something new that I need to learn. I know that there's something new. I'm in a situation and in my mind and in my heart where God is stretching me. He's stretching me into a new place of entrepreneurial anointing. So I'm declaring an entrepreneurial anointing. I need the wisdom of Solomon to be able to make the decisions that I need to make. So that's why I understand the PPK role. That's why God gave that thing to me, because he understands that there's have to be a level of prayer that I have to go into prayer for. There's scriptures and there's declarations that I got to be able to speak, to be able to mix this thing together, to be able to make a godly decision, to be able to rule and to reign, and to be able to be entrusted with God is given to me. So there's a level of mixture that I have to have to understand how I'm gonna make it to the next level. This is not something that somebody had to tell me. This is something that I had to learn. I had to be tested in. I had to be tried in. I had to be pushed in. I mean, this thing is hot. So let's break out of this. Why do I have to be tried? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to? Why not you? Why not you? And then someone, you know, when God started talking about patience, right? And he, as I was walking, I was like, God, whew, Jesus, this you got to be patient with this thing. But think about this right here. If God is trying you with patience, because there's something that God needs you to endure. He wants you to endure to the end. He doesn't want you to literally give up in the midst of it. He doesn't want you to give up because you see something that seems to be too hard, because he's showing you, like my wife could have easily gave up when she was looking at me and she was like, why are you saying that he's this and he's looking like this? I don't have the patience to walk through this. I don't have the patience to be able to deal with this schizophrenic or bipolar mindset or this narcissist, everybody uses the word narcissist, or this narcissist lifestyle or actions. I don't have the patience for this. What do you mean you don't have the patience for it? God got patience with you every day. Just the fact that you actually said that you don't have the patience for that, he has to have patience with you to get you to see who you need to be or what you need to do. But do we ever think about that? Because he was like, Jerry, I had so much patience with you. But I tell y'all, you know, in my story, I said, you know, I was in this place where God was always telling me, Jerry, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And then I got to a place where he was like, all right, today you're going to have to choose life or death. I realized then all of those times that he was saying, all of those years, all of those months, all of those days, all of those situations, when he was saying, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he was being very, very patient with me. And then he said, how about this? He says, now I need you to understand this. I've been patient with you. I've been very, very patient with you. Now you're going to have to make a choice. So what about when God tells you, I need you to do this for a certain period of time? And I'm keep telling you, I keep reminding you, I keep bringing it up in your mind. I keep bringing it up in your heart. I keep dropping it in your spirit over and over and over. And you know you're supposed to be doing it. You know you're supposed to be participating or whatever it may be. But you choose to be like, I don't want to do this no more. What if he decides to say, okay, well, I don't want you to wake up the next day. I don't want you to have your job. I don't want you to have this. What if he does you like Job and take away everything? Because he's asking you to do one assignment and you say, I don't want to do it anymore. And what if he just takes away everything? What if he takes away everything? God forbid, that he doesn't. But what if he did? Do we ever, does our mind ever go to that place? If God gives us an assignment and we choose to say, I ain't doing it, I quit. You do it. You handle it, God. I ain't dealing with that no more. I ain't dealing with this marriage. I ain't dealing with this person. I ain't dealing with this situation. I'm not dealing with my boss. I'm not dealing with my children. I'm not dealing with any of this. I'm walking away. I did that. I'm telling y'all, listen to me. I did that. I did that. That was me. I did that. So I'm not sitting here acting like I'm holier than thou. I did it. And I was going to bust hell wide open because God gave me that choice. He says, Gerald, today you're going to have to choose. Do you want life or do you want death? You're going to have to make a choice. And I said, I want to live. Oh, my God. Everybody going to say that. Oh, I want to live. I don't want to die. But do you want to be tested every day? So I had to be tested every single day. I had to be tested a lot in a day. Because there was so much, I had lost so much time and God was trying to redeem the time. So I had to go through these tests every day. Mentally test, I had to get my mind right from pornography because visions of naked people, naked women all in my head. My flesh craved self-gratification. My heart was hard. My heart was wicked. My heart was deceitful. And I'm having to walk back to my family. I'm trying to get back to the place that God has called for me to be. I'm talking about a turnaround. This is part of my book, Turnaround. I saw this little bitty light. I had to walk back to this light. So I had to walk back through all of my addictions, walk back through all of my trauma, walk back through all of my situations because God is trying to try me. He's testing me to see if this thing's still going to pull me there. Listen, there was times when I failed. I ain't saying I got it right all the time. When that piece of paper got in front of me and it was like, okay, here's the test, go. And I was like, dang, I ain't studied hard enough. Dang, I didn't remember this start. So now I'm gonna try to do this. And then I end up getting, you know, when I get the paper back, I know it was wrong because it was something that I didn't study. So it was a X on my paper. And then she'll give it back to me. She was like, do you know where you went wrong? I'll say, I think I did. I think I didn't study about this. I didn't put this piece with that piece. And now I'm understanding why I had to have a foundation of this to be able to stand on this. And so as I'm doing it, now I understood it in the spirit realm. I understood it in the spirit realm. If I ain't praying, if I ain't bringing this stuff before God, if I'm not seeking God, it's like bring me in the remembrance of my word. So I'm talking about when the last time you went and grabbed the word of God and you start declaring it over your situation, you start declaring it over this. Listen, call those things that be not as though they were. Okay, you know, everybody know that scripture. Everybody be saying that scripture, but do you actually believe that scripture? Do you believe that when you have to call on that scripture, you have to say that scripture every single day because you're looking at something that does not look like what God is saying? So you got to literally call this thing into existence. You got to actually speak into this thing when you're sitting there broke, busted, and disgusted. And God is saying, I need you to understand that I'm calling for you to speak these scriptures of prosperity. I'm trying to call. It is me that give you the power to get wealth. You know, you got to tap into who God really is. He's the one that give you the power to get wealth. He stirs up the creative ideas. He stirs up the creative understanding. He stirs up the entrepreneurial anointing, because if he stirs up the entrepreneurial anointing and you don't have the capacity to be able to handle the anointing of the entrepreneur, then you ain't gonna do nothing but squander the money. But we being tested. I look at this right here. I look at, because I was a sports person, right? So I look at me and some of the fellas was talking. We was talking about how can these $1 million and hundreds of millions of dollars of men that come into the sports and all of a sudden, you know, they broke. Bro, because they couldn't budget $5. I can tell you that. I told someone, man, I could spend $1 million in a day. 1 million in one day. Why? Because I didn't know how to budget. I didn't know how to strategically handle money. You got $1 million in the bank, but you're sitting with a poverty spirit. You don't understand how to understand wealth management. You didn't understand how to sow and reap. You didn't understand that it's better to give than to receive. You didn't understand the principles and the parables of sowing and reaping. You didn't understand that. You went into a natural place of, I got to get this, and then you start getting this, and you look at your bank account and you're broke.
I'm not telling y'all something somebody had to tell me. I played in the NFL. I played, and I'm telling you, I had a signing bonus, and my signing bonus was gone in a matter of a day. Not understanding how to budget money, y'all. Not understanding how to budget money. I knew how to spend money. I even got married, and my wife was like, well, all you know how to do is spend money. I didn't know how to budget money. So now I'm in a place of understanding how to budget money, understanding how to manage money. I have to learn this. I'm constantly learning this. I'm constantly researching how to do this, how to do that, how to make this work, how to make that work. I'm constantly trying to figure that out because the ultimate goal is to build a financial wealth. I want my children not to be a suffer. I want my children to be able to have what they need. So I got to be tried. I got to be tried every day. I got to be tried in my knowledge. I got to be tried. Am I going to be consistent in studying this? Am I going to be consistent in trying to figure this out? Am I going to be consistent? So my question is, why can't we get tried? Why can't we be tested? The testing makes you qualified to have and to be where you need to be and to do what you need to do. Does everybody understand that? The testing allows you to show yourself that you're qualified to be able to handle what God has entrusted you with. So I'm encouraging you not to run away from the testing. It's not always the devil that's testing you. It's not always the devil that's coming at you. It's God allowing the enemy to test you because he's trying to see if you're going to look like him, if you're going to respond the way he responds, if you're going to walk in your authority and dominion that he's already giving you. Some of us is giving up our authority and dominion because we don't want the test. We don't want to get tried in the fire. We don't want to have to stand in the midst of trial and tribulation. It's easy to stand on the sideline and look at somebody else going through it and talk about them. But when it's your turn to stand into the fire, you don't want to get tested. You don't want to go through it. Can I say something? God is a God of order. And I'm speaking directly to men at this very moment. There's things that you're going to have to go through because you're the head. There's things that you're going to get tested on because you're the head. You're the one that actually supposed to lead the family. Listen, you're the one that's supposed to lead the family. And by default, women have been pushed into the place of being a leader, leading the family in prayer, leading the family in all Christianity or salvation or in the word. They've been forced to do it because we haven't been in place. We haven't been in place. We haven't accepted the requirements or accepted the challenge to be in divine order, to be in a place of alignment with what the word says about who we are as men, who we are as the head. Everybody wants to be a king, but does everybody want to actually do the things that the king has to do, make the right decisions that the king has to make, be responsible for all of the people in the kingdom? Come on, y'all. That thing right there used to bother me. I remember there was a scenario at our church and we had to stand in this line and God said, you know, and we had to turn around and we had to look at all of these people that were standing behind us. And the apostle says, you know, look at these people behind you. You're responsible for these people. And let me tell you what went on in my mind. I'm like, man, this is not my church and these are not my people. So why in the world would you say that I'm responsible for all of these people? Listen, there were families that were in that line. It wasn't just people. There were families in that line. Listen, that was a prophetic sign to where we are now. I look at the armies. I look at the Help Me Army. I look at the King Army, and it's the same thing. The very same thing. God was testing me then, preparing me for what was to come. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. As I'm sitting here now, I'm realizing he was testing me then. He was preparing me then. But my mind was so off track that I didn't see what God was saying until he brought up the testing. Gerald, when he said, Gerald, are you willing to be tested? Now I see. Now I see. Now I see. Are you willing to be tested in learning this entrepreneurial stuff? Are you willing to be tested in kingdom building? Because this is the year that I've called you to be an apostolic architect. I've called for you to actually build in this year. You can't talk about, I don't know how to do construction. You can't talk about, you don't understand how to build, because I've been preparing you how to build. I've been showing you how to build. I've been asking you to build teams. I've been asking you to build communities. I build schools and build units and build these things. Y'all have been called to build. So don't tell me that you can't. So now I'm looking at our situation and I'm looking at all of the people. I'm looking at families. I'm looking at marriages. I'm looking at individuals. I'm looking at people that God has entrusted us with. So yes, there's going to come with trials of this. There's going to come with trials of that. Yes, do we get hurt? Yeah, we get hurt because we love. We love. We're not in the business of just, oh, I just want you to be, you know, in the arm, or I just want you to be our spirit. That's not what we do. That's not what we do. But we get tested on when someone says this and they say that, oh, you're our spiritual parents and we're this and we're you're that and this, and then all of a sudden you leave and then we hear nothing from you. We're getting tested. It's like, I'm still gonna love. I'm gonna love you regardless of you here or you gone. Because that's what we were called to do. There was a reason that you called us your spiritual parents. There was a reason. So I stay to that reason. I don't go to your actions. I stay to the reason that God had called you to us. That's what I speak on. That's what I pray on. That's what I hold on to. Because the enemy wants us to be vexed. The enemy wants us to be hard-hearted. The enemy wants us to talk about somebody or gossip about it. That ain't what we do. That's not us. And I know people think that that's what we do, because when they leave, they feel like, well, they don't like us no more, or they're going to tell the people not. That's not what we do. So I understand the testing aspect of, you know, making someone that leaves, making them feel like, you know, we turned against them, or making them feel like, you know, that they have been abandoned or rejected or let go. That's not what we do. That's not what we do. And I can remember in ministry when I felt like that. I felt like I was abandoned. I felt like the person didn't love me. I felt like I was being rejected because I grew up with rejection. So if you grew up with rejection and you decide to go and leave and do whatever it is that you got to do, then I don't want you to feel like we rejecting you. So I got to constantly work on my heart. I got to constantly work on my mind because I'm being tested. Because the first thing that comes back to me is my rejection, is my abandonment. These things that try to attach itself to me that I had to get delivered from. It don't belong to me. I done severed those ties. So when a person leaves the army or the person leaves and they say that we're the spiritual parents, then I have to mentally and physically get myself right. I prepare myself for that. Because I understand that I'm getting tested. I've been called to be the father to the fatherless. I've been called to be a father to many. And I understand that. I understand that's going to come with some ups and downs. I understand that's going to come with some disappointments. I understand that it's going to come with some negative thoughts. I understand that. But I'm here to tell you, I'm okay with the testing. I'm okay with the testing because I told myself that I'm going to be a forever learner. I'm willing to learn how to walk through this stuff. I'm willing to learn what God is calling for me to do. I'm willing to learn that I have to get my mind right to renew my mind daily. I'm willing to learn that I got to renew a right spirit within me daily. I got to understand that because people will come and people will go. People will say and people will not say. It's going to be what it's going to be. But I'm here to tell you today that if you have said that we're your spiritual parents and you have walked away and you're feeling like we don't love you or we talk, that's a lie. That's a lie from the pits of hell. That is not what we do. We understand that there's a constant test in relationships. There's a constant test when it comes to feeling rejected or abandoned by someone that you love or someone that is supposed to have parental rights or responsibilities for you, spiritual or non or biological. So understand this, because I don't want you out there getting this twisted. I don't want you out there talking bad about us. I don't even know why this coming out. I don't even know why I'm here. But I understand that it's a test for us. It's a test for us because we always go back to what did God say? You said God said this. You said God said that. That's the only thing we go on. Now, when you decide to walk away, that's on you. If you said God said it, God said it. All I do is love you through it. All I do is love you through it. And I have to work on my own self because I'm a loving person. Because I'm a person that loves hard. I'm a person that literally has embraced my responsibility as a spiritual father, as a father to many. I embrace that. That's my calling. That's my mantle. That's who I am. So for me, for someone to walk away from me and do that, is what it's trying to do is trigger rejection. It's trying to trigger abandonment. It's trying to trigger hurt. It's trying to trigger all of that stuff. But I'm here to tell you, I'm passing those tests. That, my friend, is not going to be my problem. It's not going to be my problem. So if you got to do what you got to do, that's meaning you got to do what you got to do. I'm going to love you through it. Okay? I'm going to love you through it. I promise you. I promise you. Because me sitting here thinking about this and talking about this now, this has been a real thing that God has really been testing me with. Like, really, really testing me with it. Because I look back through things and I see pictures and I'm a person that looks back at where I come from or where the ministry comes from. And I look at faces and I look at pictures and I look at moments that we have had over the years and people that have come and people have gone, and, you know, people that haven't even tried, people that don't even want to get tested, people that don't want to get pushed, people that don't want to. I look at these things and I'm like, my God, what happened? Why didn't they stay? Why couldn't they pass the test? Why couldn't they get through the test? Why couldn't they? What is going to happen because they gave up? What is going to happen because they decided to not do? You know, it's like they settled. It's going to be what it's going to be. You're going to get what you're going to get. It is what it is. I had to be okay with that. But as a father, I wasn't okay. Because as a father, you want your children to have everything that they're supposed to have. You want them to reach the full potential of where they need to be. You want them to be stronger than you. You want them to reach the pinnacle. I'm not in the business of watching you fail. I'm not in the business of watching you struggle. I'm not in the business of watching you fall apart. I'm not in the business of you not having everything that God is wanting you to have. I'm not in the business for that. But I understand that I'm getting tested, and I'm getting tested well. I'm getting tested because I had to. Okay, God, Holy Spirit, I need some counseling right now. I need you to be able to literally help me to get through this piece. Help me to get my heart right. Help me to get my mind right. To help me to get my emotions right. Because in this place, in this position that I'm in, I gotta be honorable. I gotta be in a place where I love and I love unconditionally. There's not gonna be a reason that you can say that that me and Apostle Yvette don't love. That's not gonna be that. Now we push. Now we test, because we understand the assignment on your life. Listen, God does not send us people. He does not send you to us for us to be patty caking. That's not us. He didn't send you to us for that. He sent you to an army where discipline, where you're going to get tested, where you're going to get pushed, where you're going to get pulled, where you're going to get stretched, where you're going to get a true put in the fire. So I'm just telling you now, and I hope this thing gets shared to everybody that you know. If you planning on to signing up for the army, you better be willing to be tested. Don't come here and you're not willing to be tested. All of these people that signing up and then giving up before you even got tested, you ain't even been tested. You just signed up. That's crazy. That's just telling you how fast you will give up on God. Because God is the one that sent you to us. And a lot of it is because the Holy Spirit or God has told you to go there. I heard her voice, or I heard this, or I saw a broadcast. I'm just telling you now, if you're not willing to get tested, if you're not willing to get tried, if you're not willing to get pushed, if you're not willing to do it, listen, save your money, save your time. This is not that. We don't want your money. It ain't about that. It's not about that. You can save your money. Save your money and save your time. To whom much is given, much is required. Just so you know that. If you know, oh, they're the ones that are going to help us save our marriage. That means you got to understand that's work. We got a jingle that tells you marriage works if you work it. If you ain't willing to work, then how are you willing to get what you need? People want something for that without even putting in no work. I ain't telling you something somebody had to tell me. I keep saying that because I was that person. I wasn't willing to put in no work. So I was getting the very results that I had with the work that I put in. I was getting those results. But when I decided to put in work, I started getting elevated, and I started to see that it's worth it putting in the work, because God has a plan with the work, because you got to have a work ethic to be able to handle what God is calling for you to have. You just do. All right. Listen, I don't know why I got on all of the other stuff, because I do, because it was a place where God was testing me with my heart, and I had to clear my heart. I had to clear my mind. I had to get all of that stuff out, because I understand that people might have felt like, because they have left the army, or they've left, you know, our covering or whatever, that we're bad, or we're this, or we're that. It's not even that. It's not even that. It's the fact of, as a parent, you know, when your children leave home, when your children grow up, when your children have to go out and live on their own and do it, you still worry. You still have this sense of covering, you know, as a spiritual parent. And that's what I get. And so I had to make sure that my heart was pure, my heart was right, and my mind was right when it comes down to that, because that hurts me. And I'm just being transparent. That hurts me. And God has been healing me every single time, every single time. And I thank God for the healing. I thank God for the healing process, because it tested me. It tests me to see if how quick can I recover from the separation? How quick did I recover from the mental aspect of it? I had to recover, and I had to recover fast. And I'm okay now. I'm okay now. I just had my therapeutic session with y'all. So I just want y'all to understand this, that the hurt and the pain that you feel, I pray that it goes away. I pray that you understand that Apostle Gerald and Apostle Yvette love you. We love you. There's no animosity. There's no hard feelings. There's no anything that is negative. You know, it's not that. Okay. We want you to understand that. So don't get in your mind that we're that person, those parents. That's not us. Okay. We're not those spiritual parents. Okay. So understand that. So
whatever God is doing in your life, I pray that God continues to encourage you, stretch you, press you, test you, that you'll grow in maturity, that you'll grow in your assignment or whatever it is that God has called for you to do in this time. I pray that it happens and it manifests in the natural as it is in the spirit. All right. Once again, I pray that this message blesses you. Father God, I thank you now in the name of Jesus, Father God, for the renewing of our minds, Father God, the renewing a right spirit within us today, Father God, as we walk out the testing aspect of what you're testing us in, Father God. Let us come out with a good report, Father God. Let us come out, Father God, with straight A's now in the name of Jesus. So, Father, every subject, Father God, every situation that you test us in, Father God, I thank you, Father God, that in the end that you will be proud of us, that you will say, well done, my good and faithful servant, that you are truly proud of the way that we've handled ourselves, of the way that we've accepted our role and accepted our assignment. Now in the name of Jesus, we cancel all forms of hurt, backlash, retaliation, every demonic cycle that have caused people to lose hope, to lose fire, to lose fervency. Now in the name of Jesus, I'm declaring, Father God, that they will be focused, they will be steadfast, they will have a tenacity, Father God, to complete the assignment. Now in the name of Jesus, Father, you're literally pushing them and pressing them, Father God, into a new level of love, a new level of love, a new level of joy, a new level of understanding. Father God, let them pursue wisdom, Father, now in the name of Jesus. Father God, I'm declaring that the men are in their rightful places, Father God. I counsel the running spirit. I counsel the little boy spirit. I counsel every spirit that have caused them to be out of alignment with your will. I'm declaring that these men will be in right standing with you, Father God. They will be vertically and horizontally lined up, Father God. Their hearts will be synchronized with your heart, Father God. Their will, Father God, will be your will, Father, that they're lining their will up with you, Father God. Father God, they're seeking your face, Father God. They're coming into the altars, Father God. I thank you for the priests, Father God, that are coming forth, Father God, and laying before the altars now in the name of Jesus. Father God, they're laying before the altar. Father God, they're pouring out, Father God, all of their sins. They're pouring, Father God, they're bringing forth their confessions, Father God. They're letting those things that have been harboring in their heart, they're letting them go. They're letting go the things that have been tormenting their mind. They're letting those things go, Father God, that have been soul ties, that have been connected to their soul. So, Father, we're severing soul ties now in the name of Jesus. Father God, those things that have been weighing them down, that have causing them to have fatigue, that is causing them to have weariness, that's causing them, Father God, to have health issues now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Oh, I thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. So, Father, I thank you for healing the traumatic areas in these men's life. Father God, every infirmity, Father God, that has been passed down from generation to generation now in the name of Jesus. I cancel all forms of hypertension now in the name of Jesus, diabetes now in the name of Jesus, migraines now in the name of Jesus, Father God, obesity now in the name of Jesus. Now I come up against all forms of arthritis that have been causing them to not be mobile now in the name of Jesus, Father God. I cancel every spirit that tries to cause them to be in the hospital, accidents and incidents now, issues of life now, we counsel them now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Even counsel witchcraft, sorcery, black magic, Father God, those spells that have been spoken over them, spoken over their lives, Father God, calling them worthless, calling them failures, calling them deadbeats now in the name of Jesus. I'm declaring that these men are alive, Father God. I thank you that their fervency now, I thank you, Father God, that you're transforming their minds and their hearts, Father God, that they will be men of valor, they will be men of great honor. There will be men that will have a fervency and a fire, Father God, for their assignment, for their purpose. Now, I thank you that they're purpose driven now in the name of Jesus. Father God, I plead the blood of Jesus over the top of their head to the soles of their feet. I decree and declare that they understand the how to declare a word, Father God. Let these men speak into their marriages. Let these men speak into their life. Let these men speak, Father God. I counsel, Father God, the mute spirit now in the name of Jesus. They've been muted, Father God.
God, for decades now. In the name of Jesus, Father God, they've been holding in these words. They've been holding in these feelings, Father God. Oh, I thank you for opening up the vial now that these things can be released now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Your word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So, Father God, I have to speak liberty over these men's purpose. I speak liberty over these men's life now in the name of Jesus. They'll be free from the bondage. They'll be free from the cycles. They'll be free from demonic cycles and demonic activities that have been haunting them now. In the name of Jesus, I bind the dream killer now that's been still killing, destroying their dreams and purpose. I bind the spirit of the of scales over their eyes that they can't see the hope of their calling, that they can't see the vision that you have given to them now. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I declare that these men shall dream again. I call forth the entrepreneurs, Father God, the entrepreneurial anointing to be upon them. I call forth the scribes, Father God, the ones that are supposed to be writing these books now. In the name of Jesus, writing their life story. I'm declaring testimonies of setting men free, testimonies of men coming out of the cave, testimonies of men standing, coming forth and standing in their right place now. In the name of Jesus, Father God, like the demoniac of Gadara, Father God, that he was cutting himself, Father God. But when Jesus came upon the scene, yes, Lord, when Jesus came upon the scene and delivered him, Father God, and the people came and saw him sitting there, Father God, clothed and in his right mind now, in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, I thank you that there's a suddenly happening in the atmosphere now, in the name of Jesus. Men are suddenly turning around. Men are suddenly seeing the hope of their calling. Men are suddenly going back to their families. Men are suddenly standing up and being in a righteous place and being in a righteous mindset. Father God, they're operating in holiness and righteousness now, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you for suddenly coming forth now. Suddenlies are coming forth now. Let the testimonies of suddenlies. Men are making phone calls. They haven't been talking to their wife or haven't talked to their children, Father God, in 20 years, Father God. I thank you right now that you're bringing forth, Father God, a breakthrough. That you're bringing forth, Father God, a breakthrough. That they're breaking out of themselves. They're breaking out of the bondage. They're breaking out of the walls that they have placed around themselves, Father God, to separate them, Father God, from people, places, and things now. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, I thank you that the walls are suddenly falling now. In the name of Jesus, there's a sound that is echoing in the air, Father God, that is breaking forth, Father God, breaking down walls, breaking down, that is crushing mountains now. In the name of Jesus, suddenly there's a breakthrough. Suddenly there's a breakthrough. Suddenly there's a breakthrough in this dark place, Father God, that the light is shining in the dark place. Father God, you're bringing a breakthrough. There's a breakthrough where the light is coming through. There's a breakthrough that the light is coming through. Let the breakthrough come forth now in the name of Jesus. Let the light shine through now in the name of Jesus. Father God, let your truth be revealed, Father God. Let your truth be revealed now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Oh, I decree and declare, Father God, every double-binded man, Father God, his mind is being stable. I decree and declare that he's balanced now. Father God, every narcissist spirit now is being removed as far as the east is from the west. I'm declaring that every forms of abuse, mental, physical, verbal abuse, spiritual abuse, I counsel it now in the name of Jesus. I say that they're coming into a repentance place, Father God. They're repenting. They're coming to the altar to repent, Father God, for the things that they have done in the past, the hurt that they have caused in the past now, in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, I thank you for a breakthrough of forgiveness now, in the name of Jesus, Father God. As they forgive themselves, Father God, the people that they hurt will forgive them now, instantly, suddenly, now, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you that love carries no record of wrong now, in the name of Jesus. Father God, love covers a multitude of sin now, in the name of Jesus. So, Father God, release the unconditional love, Father God, for these men now, in the name of Jesus. Let an unconditional love, Father God, be established in the hearts of their spouses now, in the name of Jesus. Let these men walk in an unconditional love, that they don't walk in condemnation now, in the name of Jesus. They'll be released from condemnation. They're released from the struggle. They're released. They're released from the pains of the past now, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you, Father God, for this word. I thank you for this prayer. I thank you, Father God, for these men. I thank you, Father God, for the love and understanding of your people, of your children now. In the name of Jesus, I bind backlash and retaliation and all forms of get back. I plead the blood of Jesus over this prayer and over each and every person that is listening to this prayer. I'm declaring that you operate in a suddenly breakthrough. There's sudden breakthroughs happening in your life. I'm declaring that the testimonies of the sudden breakthroughs are happening today. Let today be the day, Father God, that you open the windows waters of heaven, Father God, and let the sudden breakthroughs happen. Now, in the name of Jesus, men, come back, men. Coming home, men, I declare the prodigals are coming home. Now in the name of Jesus, Father God, broken homes are being restored. Broken homes, all forms of dysfunction is being removed as far as the east is from the west. I declare homes will have stability. They will have love. They will have peace. They will have joy. They will have harmony. Father God, they will have the power of an agreement between the spouses now. In Jesus' name.
I pray that this message blesses you, stretches you, encourages you, and take you into your next day. Y'all be blessed, and y'all have a wonderful time. Listen, share this with somebody, please. Share this with somebody. Share this with your people. We got, I don't know how many people on here, but share this with your people. Share, okay? Share this, share this, share this. Put it in these groups that y'all, that these people y'all in, share it with somebody in the group. So somebody need a sudden breakthrough. And God is trying to release a sudden breakthrough, but there's a testing that has to be had. So you got to understand that there's a testing for your breakthrough to actually have. So put these things in your groups and put these things on your page. Put it on your page. I want to see how many people are willing to put this on their page. I want to see how many people are willing to share this with your friends. I want to see it. I want to see it, because when it says you share, it pops up on my phone. So I want to see if you're going to actually share this thing. I want to see if you can put this in your group and share this with your people so that they can see and understand that they're being tested, because God is trying to get you a sudden breakthrough. But if you ain't tested and tried, then how you looking for a breakthrough? I'm talking about suddenly. I ain't talking about you've been waiting, you've been toiling for 30 years. I'm talking about God is now trying to give you a suddenly, because you understand that you've been tested. You understand that what you have to do now is pass the test. Oh, come on, y'all. I'm about to preach again. I gotta go. Hey, y'all have a wonderful day. Once again, I wanna see how many of y'all gonna put it in your group. All right. Hey, y'all have a blessed day. And remember, day by day, situation by situation, we got to get better. Hey, y'all have a good day.
Well, thank you for joining me today on the Priest, Prophet, and King podcast. I hope this message has inspired you to understand and walk in your biblical role of a PPK in your family and community. Men, if you need strategies to help you navigate through hard places in your life,
join me Monday and Wednesday at 8 a.m. for PPK Podcast, The Making of a Kingdom Man,
where men from all over the world come to talk strategies, with the Word of God being our foundation. You can go to our website, ppkglobal.org, for more information. If you need accountability, training, and mentoring, check out our King's Army, training men to walk in their divine position as heads of the family, God's way. Listen, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast of your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. I would love to hear from you, so please leave me a review and send me your thoughts and questions. You can also follow me on Facebook, PPK, Priest, Prophet, and King, IG, PPK Global, Spotify, Apple Music, for more updates and information. I will be back next week with more insight into the recipe of a kingdom man. Until then, remember, day by day, situation by situation, we have to get better. I pray you continue to be blessed in your journey as a priest, prophet, and king. See you next week.